Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about The Walking Dead Seasons 9, 10, and 11, aka the final few seasons of the show. I've reviewed every other season of the show. I could have just done the finale here, but I've reviewed Seasons 1 through 8, and so I thought, okay, man, I need to start where I left off here and review Season 9 through 11. I just finished watching Season 11 recently, though Season 9 I watched a good while ago. My thoughts on Season 9 will probably be a little bit shorter, and then I'll get more detailed with the newer seasons. And fair warning, here there be spoilers, so beware of spoilers wherever you go in here. I'm just gonna be spoiling Seasons 9 through 11. I'm gonna be spoiling the end of The Walking Dead. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, don't listen to this episode until later on, after you've watched it, or whatever. And unfortunately, I can't really talk about how this connects to the comic books like I did in my previous episodes, because this is around the point in the story in the comics when I stopped reading them, not because I wasn't enjoying them, just because I eventually stopped reading them. So what is happening in the show here is basically new to me. So I'm aware of some things in the comics like the Whisperers. I know that's in the comics, but I don't know how well this tells the story of the Whisperers or anything, as far as, you know, how well it tells it here versus in the comics and stuff like that. So I can't really do that comparison anymore, unfortunately. I should get back to it. I should, because the comic books have finished as well, and so I should just read the rest of the Walking Dead comics, which is still quite a few comics to go, I think, as far as how many I need to read. But, alright, let's talk about these seasons here. So, it starts off with a new intro sequence. I think they have vastly improved the intro sequence in The Walking Dead, because it was just, you know, where they play the music. That's Batman. But they play the Walking Dead theme song, and they just showed random clips of the show and stuff, which is just the most boring way to have an intro. It's like the kind of thing where it's like, oh yeah, we forgot to make like a little intro sequence to this show. Let's just throw some random junk together, and here's an intro. They have an amazing theme song, though. Walking Dead's intro, like, theme song is fantastic. But other than that, the intro theme has always been very boring, very bland. This one, they've made it really cool. Because it's now it's like drawn artwork that is like with crows and trees and zombies, and it kind of moves around like crinkling paper and stuff. It is very cool. It's very kind of reminiscent of the comic books, from which it is based, but very fitting the dark atmosphere of the show, and it's just very well done. They made a really cool intro to the show and the last few seasons of the show. At this point in the show, they're doing so much. They have so many different characters. They're trying to kind of build up some different cities and stuff, like some different, like each characters is kind of taking care of these different towns. And so it's just this massive cast of characters. And I do think that they could have toned it down. I think that I guess I get what they're going for, because they want to end this in a way where it's not just still, you know, a few characters on the road like it was in the beginning, but they're actually starting to kind of build civilization back. But there's just so many characters, some of which I really like and some of which I just really don't care that much about. And I mean, honestly, if they just had, like, killed off the entire cast except for like Rick and Daryl and just had them be, you know, a buddy zombie show, you know, that would have been fine, because those two are the best, you know, those two are great. like the only other relationship that I've enjoyed more than Rick and Daryl is Rick and Shane, all the way back at the beginning of the series. Just such a fantastic relationship and character development there. This is like that, only we've had 11 seasons of this. You know, it's great stuff. So the big thing in Season 9 here is Rick's exit. Rick exits the series. Now, notice I don't say Rick dies, because he doesn't die. He's saved for later, basically. So 5 episodes in. That's all it takes for them to finish off Rick. So apparently, At least there's this. I don't know why they only have five. This seems like this should be the end of a season kind of thing, like a big finale of, oh my goodness, Rick is gone, because he is the main character of the series. He started out as the main character, and they really tried to make it way more of a balanced, like, oh, all these different kind of characters kind of thing. But he is still technically, he was the main character of the series, and now he's exiting the series. And so I was like, man, to have him just kind of be at a random five episodes in and that's it. But at least they have that. At least it wasn't, because I think the actor didn't want to always be, he's not from America, and he didn't want to always be over in America away from his family or something. It was something along those lines was the reasoning for him not wanting to be in the show. So at least it wasn't just like a cutoff between seasons. That would have been horrible. But still, only five episodes is not a lot leading up to it. But how it happens, basically, he's like, there's a big horde of zombies, and he's kind of leading them all across this bridge in the hopes that there'll be enough that the zombies, that they'll break the bridge and they'll all fall in the water, and then, you know, the zombies will all get washed away. That way, they don't all come into the town and kill all their people or whatever. And they start crossing the bridge. It's not working, and then other people, they all, you know, show up, and they're all helping Rick, and at first it almost looks like, they make it look like Rick's gonna die alone, which would just be a horrible choice for this character, but no, then they have the other people show up, and they're helping out, and all that kind of stuff, but they're all kind of still a ways off. They're just, like, picking off zombies and stuff as they're coming up, and then Rick, like, shoots some dynamite or something, and blows the bridge up, supposedly killing him, though he just kind of disappears, and then the other zombies do get washed downstream, the ones that weren't blown up and stuff, and so he saves the day. So, you know, a decent ending for Rick Grimes. You know, he saves the day, kills tons of zombies, and saves all his people and stuff, and Rick Grimes is dead, but of course he's not actually dead. Everybody's, you know, crying and sad, and, you know, it's some emotional moments in there for sure, but the emotion is tempered by the fact that he's not dead. He's alive still, and Jadis, the leader, ex-leader of the Trash People, convinces the helicopter people that there's just random helicopters that fly by every once in a while. We don't know what in the world's going on with that. We still don't know what in the world's going on with that. That's going to happen in the Rick series, I assume, which I guess I'll talk about that later. But somehow Jadis convinces the helicopter people to take her and Rick and to heal Rick, and now he's going to be fine, and now he's set up for his own thing. Originally, it was going to be a movie, but now it's going to be a TV show. I wish it was still a movie. Like, I wanted to see what a Walking Dead movie would be like, you know. I was kind of looking forward to that. I think if they killed him here, this would have been like a pretty good Rick Grimes death. Not like amazing, but, you know, it's good, a good Rick Grimes death, I guess. But the fact that they did all this, but then they don't kill him, and then they take him away for his own thing, it just kind of feels cheap, you know. It takes away from the power of the scene, because it's not the death of this major character. It's just the removal of him from the series so he can do his own thing later on, you know. And it kind of just, again, it kind of takes away from the power of the scene, and it's just a ploy to get him away from the main series to set up his own little series there. And that's just what it is, you know. Overall, this is a solid Rick Grimes death, despite him not dying. They were kind of like setting up throughout the first part of this season a Maggie versus Rick Civil War kind of thing, but that didn't really happen with the way the storyline happened, and the whole, you know, death of Rip Grimes obviously overshadowed that. This was also Maggie's exit from the series, but her exit from the series was terrible. Oh my goodness. Because I didn't even realize this was her exit from the series until later on, and she just disappeared. She's just gone. The whole focus was on Rick. Maggie's a really big character, man. We can't just have her just disappear and that just... Oh, her character is done. But her character shows up again later. I'll talk about that. I think... You have to wait until season 11, so she skips a season and a half, I guess. But that, as her exit from the series, was just terrible. And then at the end of that episode, we get a little tag scene where it's Judith, and she's grown up. You know, it's Rick's daughter, and she's grown up. She she's old, you know, she's like, you know, 10, 12 or something. I don't know. She's not real old, but she's old. She's not a baby. So we got this big time jump here. And, so it's like 6 years later. And then, you know, after that, they start setting up a new normal, you know, okay, we don't have the main character anymore. We got to set up, okay, who's the main character? There is no main character for the rest of the series. There is no main character. It just fully goes into the collaborative, no main character, every character is the main character kind of series, which is not my favorite. Even with those kind of things, I still like having a main character. You know, you could say the same thing with like Guardians of the Galaxy, those movies, you know, oh, who's the main character? Is it, you know, because you all the characters are basically an even amount on screen, more or less, I would say, but you still have Star-Lord. Star-Lord is still the main character of those movies. And I think in the same way, you know, you have all these different characters and they all compete for how much time each one of them gets and stuff. And it's very spread out as far as, you know, who the main character is and stuff, but still Rick was the central character. Rick was the main character of the series, and so I definitely prefer having that. And I think, I guess, Daryl should have more stepped into that role, I think, which I guess maybe he kind of did, but really they just kind of played with the there is no main character, it's just all everybody now, you know. And okay, so then they kind of set up, this is the new normal here. And so they're like, the camps are more established. They're more beginning to function like an actual society more, you know. There's like some difficulty and some strife between the different camps, but they're all kind of working together in as cities or as different nations, I guess, in some ways these are representing do, you know, and then to say it works. It's you know, I get what they're doing here. I was wondering what they were gonna do with Negan, but this, you know, this takes us again like 6 years later. Negan still alive, still around, but he's in prison. And then he escapes, but then he returns and he's like, yeah, put me back in prison, which kind of seems out of character for him. I get that his character is going through a big change and stuff, and the reason kind of that he comes back is that he needs people. And absolutely, Negan needs people. Negan plays off of people and works with people and works people and stuff. And so it's like, yeah, Negan absolutely needs people as a character. You know, he's a character that he is not a lone wolf, you know. he is not a Daryl Dixon, you know. So it's like, it makes sense. But then would he voluntarily come back to go back to prison and stuff? I don't know. It almost seems a little out of character for him, as opposed to just finding a different group and joining that or whatnot, you know. But then he eventually earns his way out of it by killing Alpha. Carol lets him out, kind of secretly, has him go out, kills Alpha, and then he comes back, and they're like, they kind of begrudgingly give him his freedom, and okay, you know, and then he's kind of just one of the people. And then when Maggie comes back, she's like, what in the world is he doing out, you know? But okay, cool. Negan's like one of my favorite characters in The Walking Dead. Negan is fantastic. And the way they continue to develop Negan's character, I think, is phenomenal. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan's just the best, man. He's awesome. Okay, so I referenced the Whisperers here, but the Whisperers are the villains of the kind of the latter half of this season and the villains of the next season. And I liked them. I think they're an interesting, unique kind of villain that you can't really do very well outside of something like The Walking Dead. So that's cool. I like the hierarchy and kind of structure in there that they kind of establish, the world building, I guess, that goes on in the community of Whisperers. You got Alpha and Beta and then all like the minions and stuff, and then you got Lydia, which is Alpha's daughter. She's supposed to be one of the minions, but obviously she gets way better treatment because she's the Alpha's daughter and all this kind of stuff. Kind of that hierarchy and stuff, I think, is really interesting. What they do with Lydia, I think, is really good, because they ultimately, Lydia is the character from The Whisperers that they bring into the main group, and she becomes one of the main characters, and I think she's a good character. I like her character. The initial introduction of The Whisperers is super cool. Like, we see some zombies, like, turning and doing some maneuvers and stuff that it's like, this makes no sense for zombies. What in the world is going on? And, you know, a whole herd of zombies is coming, and then they just kind of turn and walk a different direction, and it's like, zombies just don't do that unless there's a big sound or something, you know, attracts them that direction, right? So it's really weird. And then some people are like hiding. I don't remember which people, but they're hiding, and as the zombies are walking by, you kind of hear the zombies whispering to each other, and it's like, what in the world? What is going on? What does that mean? You know, it just raises so many questions. And then they introduce to you what they actually are, with Jesus dying here. Jesus, a character in the show, not Jesus. Jesus Christ and God, you know. So, Jesus is there killing zombies and stuff. And then one of them dodges his attack and then kills him. And it was like this shocking, like, oh my goodness kind of moment. It was really cool. And really kind of, I don't know, maybe one of the last more shocking deaths in this series, a series that is really known for having these kind of big shocking moments and shocking deaths and stuff. We're kind of nearing the end of that with this series, which is unfortunate. That should not be the case. The Walking Dead was like made with that kind of stuff. That should have continued to the end. I think I'll get more into that some of the specifics on that, I think, a little later on. But yeah, overall, this season 9, pretty slow season. You got the bombastic opening with the conclusion of Rick and all that kind of stuff, but then a lot of it's just kind of the setup and stuff, and then we get some of the whispers and stuff. A decent, though not spectacular, exit for Rick, a terrible exit for Maggie. It's an alright season. It's pretty slow, not one of the better ones. So season 10 is 22 episodes long, the longest season that we've had so far. And, I think I know what people mean when they say this series is way too slow. I just think I feel it like 5 seasons later than everybody else felt it, I guess. Because with this season, things are just getting really slow. There's just way too many characters. And again, I think we just kind of need a purge, we got the top tier characters here. We got, Daryl, of course, Negan is great, and Carol. Those three, I would say, are like the top tier characters that, if we're going to kill everybody, at least keep these three alive. And then, second tier, good characters. I like Michonne. I like Judith, though she can be a little bit too of a Miss Perfect Pants at times, that's like, all right, come on, Judith. be a little more human, please. Ezekiel's great. I really like Ezekiel, and Jerry is very fun. Connie, the deaf girl that comes in. Did she come in the last season? I think she came in the last season. Anyway, she's pretty good too. But like, if we could limit it down to just some of these characters and not just how massive this series is, I think that would help. But ultimately, there's just, I guess they want to conclude it with this, like, this big, a lot of characters in cities and stuff that can really kind of end with there is kind of hope for the future kind of ending. So it's like, I get it, but at the same time, I miss when it was a little bit smaller in scope and it was a little bit more, like, focused on some of these characters that I really like, And even characters that I like are getting less likable as time goes on. Gabriel, so the preacher from previous seasons, not always the best representative of Christianity or being a preacher and stuff, though I thought was, decently well done previously. It's just going downhill, He becomes this, like, holier-than-thou guy, and, ever since he kind of got into a leadership position here, even with his girlfriend is like going through something like really hard and terrible, and then he basically is like, hey, your problems are your own and my problems are more important than yours, so if you can just kind of shove off, I'm busy here, and it's like, what are you doing, dude? And he's becoming, he's like so blood hungry and stuff, and it's like, you are so annoying. Speaking of his girlfriend, so of course you got the preacher in a promiscuous relationship here with the most promiscuous character. She is So she's Rosita, you know, and she is a slut. I don't know if you can say that. Can a Christian say that on a Christian show? I don't know. She's a harlot. There we go. That a Christian can say that because the Bible says that, you know. But she just has sex with everybody. Like, stop it, Rosie. What? And then she's in. And then of course she's in the relationship with the preacher, and the preacher's like okay with it or whatever. The show presents it as like this very normal okay thing. Like, hey, it's not a big deal, you know. And she's. She already has had several partners up to this point, and now she's in a relationship with Gabriel, but then that doesn't stop her from getting pregnant with Sadiq. Who's Sadiq, you ask? Just some guy, I don't know. And then, so she's like always flirting with him, she's with Gabriel, and she obviously she has sex with him because she's pregnant with his kid, and then she's flirting with Eugene too, and like stringing him along, even though she blatantly told Eugene earlier that we're never going to be together, like I'm not into you, you know, but then she keeps stringing him along, and it's just so obnoxious. And then someone like brings this up to her in the show. Someone is like, "Hey, what are you doing here? This doesn't seem right." And she's just like, "Oh, you know, Gabriel's not the jealous type, so you know, it's okay, or whatever." And it's just like, "What? Are you, what? No? Are you kidding me? This is so stupid. I hate this. It makes me not like her. It makes me not like Gabriel, and just the whole situation. Like, what are we doing? This is so stupid." Ugh. Carol and Ezekiel's adopted son dies at the hand of the Whisperers. Pretty sad. I really think they're just playing it too safe with these last few seasons here. Even just a few seasons ago, like, you really did not know what was going to happen. Like I said with when Jesus died there, you know, and it's stuff like that where it's like you did not know what was going to happen. You know, a few seasons ago, Rick ordered a bunch of sleeping people to be murdered, you know, and he had his people go and stab all these sleeping people, which is what led to Negan and all that horrible stuff, right? But it's like you never would have expected Rick to be like, all right, let's just go murder these people now, you know? And then, you know, then that leads to something also shocking, Negan coming out and, you know, oh my goodness, the consequences of my actions. Negan comes out and bashes Glenn's head in and his eyeball out. And ultimately, Rick does not kill Negan for that. And Rick would absolutely kill Negan for that previously. But throughout the character development of the show, he decides not to. And that's a shocking thing as well. And In this season, we have Daryl, and they've, like, captured somebody, and he is, like, threatening to torture him to get this information out of him, but I instantly knew that there is no way that Daryl is going to torture this guy, he's just not going to do it. Not because that character wouldn't do it. Daryl is a very dark character. Daryl is a character that would be willing to brutalize somebody he deems as a threat if, you know, the situation calls for it or whatever, and the situation called for it in this instance. But immediately, I knew that he was not going to do it. He's not going to torture this guy because he's the hero of the series. Not because his character wouldn't do it, just because he is the hero of the series and they don't want the hero of the series to do something really dark and bad, you know? Even though this is a really dark series where the main characters will do things that really make you question them, and that's one of the things that I think makes this series really interesting. There's another sequence where Michonne, like, almost kills someone that's, like, threatening her and some other people and stuff, but ultimately she pulls back. Why? Is that because, you know, she's never killed anybody, or she wouldn't be willing to kill someone to protect her people? No, of course she would, and she has previously, but she doesn't do that because she's the hero of the series, you know? And look, I don't need the characters to be bloodthirsty maniacs, right? But some of the shocking and crazy choices that made the previous seasons so interesting and memorable are just lacking here. They're just kind of gone, you know? And in their place is the safe choice. In their place is these safe things, you know? Daryl's going to torture this guy, but he gets interrupted, doesn't have to happen, and now they're okay, and it keeps, you know? It's just like, they replace them with the safe thing. They replace them with the safe moments instead of these kind of shocking and whoa kind of moments that the series was known for and founded on and really kind of made the series interesting, I think. It stinks, but I really do think a lot of The Walking Dead's bite died with Rick, you know? I think that's kind of where we're at now. So this season we have a people are getting sick storyline. They kind of at the beginning of the series they kind of done away with the whispers. At the end of the last season they made some kind of peace agreement with them, even though they did some terrible stuff to each other. They made some kind of peace agreement with them, and you know, as long as we don't cross into your territory and you don't cross into our territory, we'll be cool, kind of thing. So then that ultimately leads into, you know, they're at a time of somewhat peace here, and then we get into people are getting sick storyline, and we've already been through this storyline a couple times. I remember the first time when they did the whole, people are getting sick and people are dying. And, you know, I think it was an interesting thing there because it's a non-human or non-zombie threat, you know? So it's like, it's a threat that's coming from, you know, it's a completely new threat for the series. It's kind of, interesting, different there. Okay. Then it happened a second time and it was like, all right, fine enough. We've seen this before, but, you know, two times, fine. But now it's happening the third time with basically the same kind of storyline going on. Why? What are we doing here? It was just like, why is this a thing? You know, it does end in an interesting way, though, with one of the people being an undercover whisperer. And so he was like messing with the water. And so that's the reason that the people were getting sick and all that kind of stuff. So it's like they tied it in and made it work and stuff. So it's like, okay. But at the same time, it's like we've seen this storyline before multiple times. Why are we doing it again? I think the Whisperers are very interesting villains, as I said before, with the hierarchy and that kind of stuff going on in there. But the basic concept of the Whisperers is that they're just giving in to their base human instincts and their sinful tendencies and their sinful desires, and they're just becoming the animals. You know, they're just an animal, and they're just the zombies. They're just a zombie along with the rest of the zombies, and they hide in the zombies. I think that whole aspect of putting on the mask and just walking with the zombies and everything is fantastic and fascinating. And just they're just such a, again, because they're basically like they're the animals, the most base human sinful desires and kind of tendencies and stuff is just where they dwell. And it makes them for very kind of gross, despicable kind of characters and very interesting villains. I think Alpha and Beta are interesting characters, and their kind of dynamic is kind of weird and interesting. There's a great scene where Beta breaks into their village or whatever, they're one of them, and then he starts killing people, and it's like a horror movie. Like, it's like a Halloween movie where he's just Michael Myers. He even has the kind of white skin mask on, you know, because that's what the Whisperers wear, and he's going around and he's killing people. And it just totally reminds me of Michael Myers. And just like Michael Myers, his face is always like obscured and stuff. Whenever he takes the mask off or anything, his face is just obscured and you can't really, you know, you never really see him very well other than when he puts the mask on, which is very similar to Michael Myers. Again, it's very reminiscent of that. And I thought that the whole sequence there was very cool. Plus, at one point, he like falls down an elevator shaft and then just gets up and walks away. Again, very Michael Myers of him. He is one of those characters that can take a major beating and still keep going. But he's like a really big guy. They made it, I guess, believable enough. Like when he falls down the elevator shaft, that's like, okay, dude. But they make it believable enough, I guess. They're maybe just pushing the limits of that a little bit, but that it works ultimately. And I think he's a good, imposing bad guy. The Whisperers do make zombies scary again. I think that's something they're good at, because instead of just, you know, how the zombies operate, you know how they work, and so you can just kind of, you can plan around them. Suddenly there is humans. There's these humans that are trying to kill you that are mixed into the zombies. You don't know which one's the zombie. You don't know which one's the human. And then suddenly the human comes out and kills you or something. It's like, whoa, it makes the zombies scary again, which I think is really cool. And again, them using the zombies to their advantage, you know, they hide in the zombies. They stare the hordes around to attack places and stuff. Such a cool, interesting unique thing for the villains to do, and something that you can't really do other than in a series like The Walking Dead. Like, where have you seen villains like this before? You know, it's really interesting and unique, and it's cool. Very much works for The Walking Dead, and I like these villains. And then Negan infiltrates the Whisperers, and he's like, oh, I hate those guys, so I'm gonna join you guys. And then ultimately, you know, he's working for Carol. He kills Alpha, who's obviously the leader. Beta is second in command. And then, so Beta then takes over. But then we get more into Beta's head, and Beta is like talking to the zombies, and he hears the zombies talking back to him. And so it's to him, it is like he's like leading an army of zombies that are like listening to him as he's telling them what to do and stuff. It's kind of crazy and weird, but I like it. Again, I like the Whisperers. I think the Whisperers are some really good villains. So then after the Whisperers storyline ends there, then we get just, they don't end at the end. They end like somewhere in the middle of the season. And then we get like a half a season of episodes that are just like setting up the final season. You know, they're not bad episodes per se, but again, we're very much in the slow, just set up stuff for the next season. I'm not going to talk much about it because there's just not a lot interesting, super interesting in there. Other than Ezekiel, Yamako, and Eugene all go off on this side mission, and they meet Princess, who's she's kind of like the manic pixie dream girl, but just a little more mentally unstable, and I think Princess is a very fun character. So yeah, I like her. Probably talk more about her in the next season, where she has a much bigger role in that season. So season 11, okay, the final season, also the biggest season. I think this one's 24 episodes or something. We're getting some really big, so they're like, oh my goodness, we're ending it. We have to pack a ton of episodes in here. It's like, why? Okay, I don't know. So this is kind of in two sections. We have the section with, the first section is the cult section, and then the second section is the Commonwealth section. So the first section of the season, the first like quarter of the season maybe, is the cult. So now our heroes are fighting some kind of ninja cult, I guess, which is, at least when they first show up, they're ninja cults, you know, because this is apparently whoever Maggie ran off to when she was gone. She ran off to this group, but they're like ninjas. I don't know. They act like ninjas, but then when you get to meet them, they're like not, they're not ninjas. They're absolutely not ninjas when you get to meet them and you get to see who the characters are and stuff. They're totally not ninjas, but then when they're fighting them at the beginning, they're totally ninjas sneaking in and out and disappearing and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, what? It's very weird. It's kind of dumb, but like, why is the League of Assassins suddenly in The Walking Dead? I don't understand this. When they actually get into it, I think the cult stuff is pretty decent, honestly. Daryl ends up joining the cult as a spy, you know. He ends up joining the cult kind of against his will, but he joins it, and then they're kind of slowly adopting him in and trying to assess whether they can trust him or not and stuff. And that stuff's good. I enjoyed the him joining and him trying to work the system for in the favor of his people, in the favor of Daryl's people. And then some of Daryl's people don't know that he's in there, and then they're like, whoa, wait, is he joining the cult and stuff? And it's just some kind of interesting dynamic there. It's pretty cool. And then after all the Whisperer stuff, we have Maggie and Negan finally starting to kind of work together again. And then they use what they've learned from the Whisperers to start leading zombies into this cult, and that's their way of attacking the cult. So it's like, oh, really cool, you know, learning from what they've learned from the Whisperers and stuff, and using that against the next group of bad guys that they have to fight against here. So the whole cult sequence, not bad, pretty good there. So then the Commonwealth sequence. So this is the rest of the series. This is the finale part, is the Commonwealth. So this is, we got Ezekiel, Princess, Yumiko, and Eugene. They all have, you know, they've come together and they've went out on this quest to find who, you know, who is this signal that has been contacting Eugene. Somebody's been contacting Eugene. Go looking for it. They find the Commonwealth, which is this big group of people that have electricity, and they've had, like, they are several steps ahead of where our other characters are at. They are several steps further along, having more technology and more stuff available and all this kind of stuff. They have a working hospital that they're using and stuff. And so it's like, oh man. So it's kind of crazy having so much more advanced technology suddenly popping up now in The Walking Dead. So it's like, okay, interesting. I think this is an interesting storyline to conclude The Walking Dead series on. But then it kind of turns into a class warfare series for a good chunk of this, where you have the upper class and you have the working class, and you know, the upper class doesn't really care about the working class. They're like, you know, they want them to do the work or whatever. But it's more like a class system series, which is, it's just kind of a weird, it's weird in The Walking Dead. You know, you can make a good story about that kind of stuff. It just seems like a weird storyline for The Walking Dead. I guess that said, it is fairly well done in here. The villains of this season, they're not on the level of Negan or the Governor or the Whisperers, I would say, you know. But they are, you know, they're suitably evil. I mean, I didn't like them in a good way, you know. So it's like, okay, you know, they're some decent bad guys. They're just not the greatest bad guys, I guess, to end the series out on. You have the leader of the Commonwealth is kind of one of the, probably the big bad guy here, and then her bratty son, and then you got her right-hand man, and that's kind of the top bad guy group there. Each one with their own motivations, each one with their own, doing their own thing in different ways, which just causes so much more complication for our heroes, you know. Eugene has had barely anything to do the last several seasons, I think, but he has one episode in here where he is playing detective trying to find his missing girlfriend, because he had a girlfriend when he first moved in, and then she disappears, and what happened to her, and then he figures out that, you know, he never had a girlfriend, and it was all undercover, whatever, mumbo jumbo, whatever. But it's, like, I think that was the best use of his character since he first came in. I'm like, yeah, this character should be a detective. He is the detective, the type, you know, that he fits that, in my opinion. So it's like, yeah, I like that role as him. But then we just get back into the weird relationship stuff with him. That is just kind of like, you know, okay. I like Daryl as a father figure to Judith here, because that he's very much filling that role. Michonne, I don't even remember when Michonne left the series, but she's gone now. She, like, left to find Rick. What a horrible parent. I'm sorry. What? She leaves her daughter home alone for forever, basically, for years, to go find Rick, who is dead, you know. So they believe that he's dead. By all accounts, he should be dead. And so, what a horrible parent. I don't know. Come on, man. But basically that's there just to set up the future here. That's there to set up the Rick series, which is going to be a Rick and Michonne series now. So I guess they're going to find each other. So, okay. But I like Daryl stepping into the father figure role with Judith and kind of having that relationship build between the two of them. I think Daryl doing his best to be a parent to a child is not a role that I expected to see him in, but when he's doing it, it's like, this is good. This is good for his character, and it's interesting. It's good stuff. So the leader of the town's right-hand man is this big dude in orange armor, and he's the leader of the army, basically, and he is such a cool character. He's very much the follow the orders, straight-laced, straight, you know, boots on the ground, army kind of guy, you know. He knows that there's things that is going wrong, and, like, he knows that the leadership is corrupt and stuff. But then he's like, no, but we gotta follow through. This is a better community than basically anywhere else in the world, where zombies are eating people's brains and stuff. So it's like, we gotta, you know, just stick to some of this. But then, you know, he kind of struggles with that because he sees this, like, oh man, you know, but there is some corruption and stuff in there. And then throughout the course of the season, as he slowly, you know, changes and turns and eventually is helping our characters at the end, it's good stuff. It's a good change of his character. It's a good transition, slow transition of of him being a character that is antagonistic towards us at the beginning, and then a character that kind of is joining us and helping us at the end. Good stuff. Now, I don't know if this was supposed to be a commentary or on the COVID lockdowns or whatnot. I don't know if this is connected whatsoever, but there's a point in this series where the elites of the Commonwealth force the working class to lock down in their houses COVID style, and like our heroes see this as a breaking point and as a like, oh, we should just leave. This is not good. This is terrible. These people are tyrannical towards their population. You know, it's very interesting because our heroes are like thinking, oh, we need to, you know, ditch the comforts and the prosperity of the Commonwealth in favor of freedom and safety from the tyranny of the elites, which is like, it just seems like such a strong connection to in, you know, so many places across the world where the government's forced us to lock down, stay in your homes, you can't leave, and all that kind of stuff. It just very much seems like commentary on that, saying this is tyrannical, this is evil, and we need to do something about it. And it's like, huh. Interesting. Was that intentional? Was that in the comic books before? And so they're just like, oh, we got to do this or something. I have no idea. But like, huh. It's very, very interesting. And during this time, there's like a lot of like protests and things going on against the tyranny of the elites, you know? And there's even a peaceful insurrection, quote unquote, just like, you know, in the insurrection on January 6th, into the capital of the Commonwealth here, and it's actually peaceful, you know, and then, but this is like, oh my goodness, this is a threat against the Commonwealth and stuff, is what the people at the Commonwealth, the elites are saying, right? And then protesters are dealt with tear gas and with threats of violence and stuff. It's just like, man, is this not a commentary on America, or is this a commentary on America? I don't know for sure if that's necessarily what they were going for, but I absolutely see parallels here. And I mean, ultimately, this kind of stuff is ultimately what leads to the end of the Commonwealth as we know it in this series, you know? And so is this them saying, hey, this kind of stuff is going to lead to the end of America as we know it or something? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I'm seeing this and I'm going, huh, interesting. On a different note, the smart zombies are returning from season one. Do you remember in season one, there was a zombie that used a rock to break some glass? And then there was a different zombie that was a little girl that, like, picked up the teddy bear and then it ran at Rick and Rick shot her. So it's like, there was, like, smart zombies for the first season. Then they got rid of them for the next 10 seasons. And then the 11th season, they bring some smart zombies back here. So there's one zombie that was smart enough, like, it opened a door. There's another zombie that, like, climbed the side of a house. And then there's a zombie that uses a rock to try to kill Jerry instead of just, like, biting him. And it's just such a weird thing. And one of the characters is like, oh, they think it's one of the Whisperers, which makes sense because the zombies aren't smart. And so he tries to tear his face off, but it's just a zombie. And it's, once again, just like the first season, there is no explanation for this whatsoever. It's just, now suddenly there's some smart zombies that know how to climb and use tools and stuff, apparently. Like, why? What is this? I thought that was stupid in the first season, but I'm like, okay, I guess that's just what these zombies are, is they're slightly smart zombies. Like, I think that's stupid. I like my zombies dumb and slow, like most of the Walking Dead series, you know? That's my favorite kind of zombie. They had the smart zombies at the very beginning, and I'm like, okay, I don't really like that. But then they got rid of that, and it's like, okay, it's the kind of zombies I like for so many seasons. And then they return to this for no reason, and it's just this, it's never explained. It's just random here for no reason for, it's so annoying. And then at the very end of the series, the zombies just start climbing over the Commonwealth's walls and start killing people. Like, they can just climb over the walls now. Like, the walls mean nothing, even though the walls meant protection for so many seasons of, you know, oh, we go to the prison, and they use their walls to protect us from the zombies, and then we go to this place, and we use their wall, you know, and every place they go, they have to have walls set up so that they're protected from the zombies, and now suddenly, oh, zombies can just climb walls now. It's just so dumb. It's absolutely awful, awful writing. Like, what in the world? It's Commonwealth would not have fallen, at least not as fast as it did, if it wasn't for these zombies just climbing over the fence there. Like, it's just so dumb. Absolutely awful writing. Like, what in the world? Just terrible. I hate that they bring the smart zombies back. Like, what? It's so bad. If there was random ones throughout the series, and you could just go, oh, okay, so, you know, maybe there's a few smart zombies out there, and they, every once in a while they'll show up, keeps you on your toes or something, I guess. But no, it's something that they basically ignored and said, okay, we kind of just didn't do that in the first season, ignore that. But then, no, don't ignore that, we'll just bring it back for the last season so that they can Deus Ex Machina over the walls and just do whatever in the world they need to happen for the story to happen, and it's so dumb. Ugh, I hate it. So the series started using F-bombs now, which I think is weird. You know, this was a series, you know, it's on TV, and they don't really allow you to use the F-word or whatever, but then they started using, like one per season or something. But then this last season, they've used several, like in the last 7 to 8 episodes, they've used several F-words, which is just, it's just weird. Like, it doesn't super bother me, it's just kind of weird. And the whole time with Negan, which, if you don't know, Negan in the comics swears a lot. He is constantly dropping the F-word and the S-word and all that. You know, he is constantly swearing in the comic books. And then he comes to the TV show and they have to tone him way back for the sake of the TV show because you can't have him swearing all the time. Makes sense. I'm in favor of that, honestly. But this whole time, and he's that character, and this whole time they don't have him curse, and then he, like, uses a curse word and one F-word in this season. It's just weird. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just stupid. Speaking of continuing the bad writing train here, they don't kill people off like they used to in this series. This kind of connects back to what I was saying earlier. You know, this series, it used to be so unpredictable, killing off, like, central characters every season, not just one, like, at the end or something, multiple central characters every season, not, you know, in the middle, at the beginning, at the end, all throughout, you know, so it really kept you on your toes, right? But in season 11, I don't even think a single main character was killed off before the ending. This is working much more similarly to a standard TV show of just, oh, you know, we'll save the character deaths for the very end kind of thing, which was never The Walking Dead's MO, and it is now, apparently. And so I don't think a single main character was killed off before the end of this season. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate, you know? So the end of the season here, Judith gets shot because Daryl was being stupid. Judith is like, I can go to war too. And Daryl's like, no, you can't. You're like 12 or whatever. And she's like, yes, I can. And he's like, you make a good point. I'm going to bring you to war now. So stupid. What are you doing here, Daryl? Be a better dad than that. It's just ridiculous. Now, that said, this leads up to a fantastic homage to the first episode here. So the final episode, and Judith gets hurt. She's unconscious. She's bleeding. They take her into a hospital room, and then they're forced to leave her in the hospital room as they're going and fending off some zombies and stuff. And so she's alone in a hospital room, unconscious, with zombies all around. And then one of the smart zombies picks up a rock and uses a rock to break a window, just like the first episode. All of those things happened to Rick in the first episode. Now they're happening to Judith, Rick's daughter, in the final episode. So it's like, okay, some good continuity there, some good, you know, connecting the tissue, the storyline, some of that connective stuff, connecting it all the way back to the beginning to kind of, you know, make that circle that you need to in a good story. And so it's like, good. This, I mean, the final stuff is not the greatest story. This is the weakest The Walking Dead has been. But connecting all this kind of stuff is good, and I really liked the homage there. And if they brought back the smart zombies just for that, well, then, you know, maybe there's one way, there's one point where I'm like, okay, I'm fine with that smart zombie just because it's a callback to the original, you know? It's a callback to the very first season. Good stuff. Negan finally really apologizes to Maggie, and Maggie kind of accepts it for the first time. Not completely, but, you know, because Negan killed her husband and stuff. And so it's like, you know, the relationship that they're working on there is interesting. They're building up to a TV show with those two, I believe. So there you go. Overall, it's a pretty good ending. It's a decent ending. This is some of the weakest The Walking Dead has been, though. I think establishing like a self-sustaining city with a reasonable form of government, we like get a glimpse of the government of, you know, some people from the Commonwealth and some people from, you know, Rick and Daryl's group, you know, that are main heroes of The Walking Dead mixed in with the Commonwealth people and stuff. It gives you, you know, a glimpse of hope for the future as the ending of this series. So, which I think is a solid way to end the series, you know. That said, it is just kind of a bigger version of some of the previous towns and some of the previous things that we've seen before, but again, it makes sense to end the series in this kind of way. Ezekiel and Mercer, the right-hand man that turned over to their side, are the governors of the city. Daryl strikes out on his own so he can have his own TV series. Honestly, I'm looking forward to the Daryl TV series because Daryl is the best character left in the Walking Dead series. Daryl's awesome, and him striking out on his own, we can have him a much more narrow focus, so very cool. Too bad Carol's not coming with him. Daryl and Carol, that would have been great, but no. And then at the very end, the way the whole series ends off is basically we get a teaser for the Rick and Michonne series. You got like Michonne talking and Rick talking, and they're like, we're gonna find each other and we're gonna do whatever. And Rick is stuck with the helicopter people, apparently against his will, I guess, and Michonne is looking for him, and the series ends with that. And, you know, I am looking forward to some of these spinoffs. I love Negan as a character. Maggie, I like a little bit less so as a character at this point. I liked her previously, and she's kind of gone downhill a little bit, in my opinion. But, you know, I like Negan, so I'll probably check out their series. I like Daryl Dixon, so I'll probably check out his series. And, you know, I like Rick and Michonne, so I'll check out their series. They are spinning off the best characters in the series, you know? Now, that said, it's unfortunate that they have to end the series on what basically amounts as a teaser for another series, you know? It's like, this is a big event. The Walking Dead, the finale of The Walking Dead, this is a big deal, you know? The Walking Dead, like, took over the world for a while, you know? There was Walking Dead merch and stuff just everywhere for a while, and it died down. It wasn't as big when it ended as it was when you know, in those first few seasons or whatever, but it was such a big thing. Like, the ending The Walking Dead is kind of a monumentous big occasion, even though, you know, a lot of people would say that they've outstayed their welcome a little bit, and maybe I would agree with that because it's gotten too slow and it's gotten some weaker seasons at the end for sure. I'm fine with the spinoffs happening, but it shouldn't end basically with a teaser for, oh, these are the spinoffs that's coming, almost. You know, it's like that's kind of an unfortunate that it has to end with that. That said, for the most part, I think the ending was fairly solid, having like, oh, look, we are establishing a civilization that we can survive in the zombie apocalypse, and Rick's kids are going to be involved in that, and Rick's family and stuff is going to be involved in that. Season 11, you know, it's definitely one of the weaker seasons, much like all the seasons after Rick died, you know. It has its moments, it has some good stuff, but overall, once Rick died, the series definitely went downhill. Overall, though, as a series, The Walking Dead is one of my all-time favorite TV shows. The first few seasons, particularly the ones with Shane, Rick and Shane, played by John Bernthal, is phenomenal. Absolute must-watch TV. And the following season through, like, season 8 or so, to me, I think is also great TV and really fun. All the way up through the whole Negan thing, in my opinion, is really good stuff. And then that's when it starts teetering out from there. Now, that said, Walking Dead, it still ranks as just, it's one of my all-time favorite TV shows. I love it. It's such good stuff. What do you think? It's good? Did you like the ending? What do you think of The Walking Dead? You can shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com, and you can let me know. Until then, this is David, Helix Reviews, signing out. Bye-bye, guys. Taking care of these different towns, and so we got these different towns that are all working together.